This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, I mean, you go back and look at all the little things that happen in a game, you know, why drives don't get extended or whatever goes on. I mean, you know, that's football, you know, and we're fighting and trying to do the best we can to score more points and to get them stopped. And that's a football game, you know, it's just the way it goes. It's football.
It's football, everybody. John Harbaugh asked why the Ravens offense went sleepy time in the second half, did not score, and the meaningful drives that they had resulted in 0 points because John Harbaugh decided, let's go for the touchdown. Instead, it was an interception, and then the Bills march up and kick the game-winning field goal themselves. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. Hang tight. We'll get your phone calls here in a second. But what do you think, Vinny? It's football. But what did Buffalo do differently? We talked to Evan Washburn earlier in the show. He thought they ramped up the old intensity there a little bit in the second half, the Bills did on defense.
Well, I think the Bills brought some more blitz is what they did too, Bob. But I think it's more about what did the Ravens do. I mean, you can't, you know, against the number one defense, Bob, you get yourself in first and 15. You know, it's not always going to work. I mean, your first series when you come out, before you even take a snap, you're first and 15. You know, so, I mean, there goes that first drive went to hell. Then the second one, you got to catch balls. You know, Bateman, you know, that's a chain mover on third and eight. You got to make a play. You want to be the number one receiver. You know, you got to make a play. And then on the other one, they're driving. You know, Lamar's throwing it to Andrews, going to catch it. The defensive lineman reached up, batted the ball, and you got an interception. You know, so what is that? I mean, that's football. And then the next was the, you know, 10-minute drive that, you know, they kick it. And then they never touched the ball again. So, I mean, they had the ball one time in the fourth quarter. So you had the ball three times in the second half. First time you go first and 15 because your center screws up. Second time you got a drop pass. All right. Third time you get an interception, you know, when you're going to have a first down and you're driving. And then the next time, you know, you take it down there, you know, and that was the play. I mean, three times, and wasn't anything Buffalo did. Kind of what the Ravens did.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Andre in Owings Mills. Andre, how you feeling here on this morning?
Good morning. I just sit here and see all these excuses you media guys keep making up. And so it gets y'all meal tickets in. But let me give you my thoughts on this guy Harbaugh acts like he's trying to destroy Lamar's Jackson. Now, from the last two, dating back to last season, all his play calling is ruining Lamar's record. You got the best kicker in football. You got the most dynamic player in football, but you keep taking them off the field with your decisions, and y'all keep making excuses about analytics. Analytics don't have the heart of Lamar Jackson or Justin Tucker. Analytics is telling him that he keeps throwing games and losing games, so Lamar's record can be tarnished because they're not ready for an African-American quarterback to lead to be the star of the NFL. Now, let me say this. If you look at that play calling yesterday, if you can't tell that was biased against Josh Allen, biased for him, and against the Ravens, something is wrong with you. If you can't tell that, now I know y'all going to cut me off before I get my point across. But three crucial calls in that game went against the Ravens. And when they call something against, when they call something for the Ravens, it's a non-factor call. But we watched how terrible that officiating was. And John Harbaugh is the icing on the cake with his play calling. He's ruining Lamar's career, and that's what he wanted to do. To me, he's not for.
And you base kid. And you base that on what?
I'm based that on what was it? What?
Well, like John Harbaugh ruining Lamar's career. You base that on what?
Okay, let me tell you, let me give you this. His Lamar's record. Lamar had the best record in football in the first 3 years at his age and for starting NFL quarterback. Lamar Jackson had the best record in history. Now he don't lost at least five or six games with his 2-point conversions or his. All you gotta do is kick the extra point and give them a chance to come back on the field and win the game. If they earn the right to tie the game or go ahead, John Harbaugh keeps making these decisions that's killing the Baltimore Ravens. And y'all keep getting on here talking about analytics. Analytics don't have nothing.
Nobody. Thank you, Andre. Nobody. I think we've all disagreed with his decision to go for it on fourth down. John Harbaugh is the one that said analytics.
Yeah.
Led him to that. We didn't say that. Nobody has said that. And the lead, Patrick Mahomes is African American, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, he is.
I mean, John Harbaugh purposely ruining Lamar Jackson's career. I mean, what happened against Miami? That was the defense giving up 21 points or six touchdown passes to Tua Tagovailoa.
To ruin his career, he kicks the field goal. Yeah. You know, I mean,
he's ruining his own career.
Yeah,
John Harbaugh is by trying to lose games.
To me, he shows ultra amount of faith in Lamar Jackson by going for those, you know, we got Lamar. We can do this. You know, and let me just say this. How different would the callers be if the two tackles blocked their guy and he's hitting Duvernay and the Ravens win? You know, then it's a whole different story. That could have easily happened. It was a good play call. It was a very good play call. It was bad execution by the tackles. Duvernay runs a great route. They bust their coverage. It's a gimme. But Moses and Falele, they don't block. And that's what saved Buffalo.
Let's go to Federal Hill. It is Rob. Rob, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. So, now, my problem with John Harbaugh is every time something doesn't go his way, he just plays analytics. So at this point, right, he's using the analytics too much. Now, every other team that we play, I'm sure they know that John Harbaugh is going to rely on analytics. So you don't think that they have somebody just thinking about what's the analytics on the Ravens side? So let me see what they're going to do because he's predictable. Now, it's such a shame that John Harbaugh wasn't able to get anything done. I mean, we still have this year. This year isn't a wash, but with Lamar on his rookie deal, we have yet to really make a serious, serious run at the Super Bowl. And it's a shame because that's how you do it. You know, that's the formula for winning a Super Bowl is you get a good rookie quarterback and you know, on a cheap deal and you build around it. And they ain't spending money on defense and they ain't paying Lamar. They're paying Tucker, but they're not using him. You know, John Harbaugh got his money. Lamar has yet to get his money and Lamar's going to be fine. Okay. Somebody's going to give him that contract he wants. Is it going to be us? That's the question. I don't know. I hope it is. You know, I love Lamar. I would hate to see him go, but I don't know if you guys notice it, but Lamar is definitely not going to let himself take those types of hits that he has in the earlier in his career. I'm not going to say he's running scared, but like he could have got that first down yesterday, but he went out of bounds. I don't blame him. I really don't. I'm not about to, you know, put my career on the line for these people that ain't even paying me. And on top of that, they got a guy that's incompetent on the sideline that's been here for 14 years. He's comfortable at this point. I think this is just a job to John Harbaugh. And I tried to say that, and then they made fun of me on the Big Bad Morning Show saying, oh, you know, Rob is slamming his fist down, talking about, oh, he's done so much for us. Well, that's great, but the NFL stands for not for long when you play like that.
All right, Rob, thank you for the call. Man.
To me, when you
watch
Harbs.
A lot of layers. Yeah, he didn't sound like Harbs, a guy who was comfortable with what happened yesterday. Yeah.
And you know what's tough about being a coach, Bob, is what, like 7 minutes after a game, you got a microphone in your face and you got to go answer questions, you know, and you got Chad Steele saying, all right, here's probably what they're going to ask you, John.
Yeah.
You know,
fourth down.
Like when Harbs talks today, at least he's had a chance to think about it and everything else. So it'll be interesting more so.
I'd be willing to guarantee that John Harbaugh was more pissed off about that loss yesterday than every single person calling in here trying to get him fired from his job.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about this realistically. You think John Harbaugh, we're observers. We're just watching the game on our couch or in the stands like everybody else. You think you're more pissed off about that loss than John Harbaugh is? Really? I mean, think about it realistically, people. Buy or sell next.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
It's a Monday. Everybody frustrated, running a little hot. Maybe even run a little broke, depending on how your betting went over the weekend. Ravens lose yesterday, 23-20. Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, guaranteeing a winning season for the first time since 2016. The Turtles are 4-1 after beating Michigan State Saturday down in College Park. We got a lot to get to, and we will. But right now, let's count some early week money by yourself.
All right, Bob. The Dow is up 605. The S&P's up 68. NASDAQ is up 152. DraftKings up 7 cents. Under Armour's up 31 cents. So we're all in the green today. Let me see what the reason. It's October 3rd. The new month, new quarter. I don't know. But it's we like it.
All right. If you like it, I like it.
Yeah, we're green.
Speaking of green, here's the worst segue of all time. Speaking of green, the Celtics, they've been through the ringer this past month.
Well, you didn't have to set it up like that. Should have just rolled with it.
You would have given me crap. Be honest.
Well, I am now.
Well, they've had their share of injuries. The head coaching situation, we know all about it. But they did make a move last week. Blake Griffin signed him to a one-year deal. Not a move that really moves the needle significantly. But they needed front court depth. Gallinari went down. Robert Williams, another surgery for him, so he's going to have a delayed start to the season. Griffin last year, career low, 6.4 points per game in 56 games. But Bob, buy or sell, he will be a quality placeholder until Williams is ready to return.
I'm selling it. I mean, if you watched him last year with Brooklyn, he looked like he was washed up. I mean, he had a lot of DNPs down the stretch. So Blake Griffin, the explosion, the athleticism, which kind of separated him from a lot of players, no longer there. I think he's just kind of reaching. He's a journeyman, bouncing around a little bit this stage in his career.
Well, the Chargers, they'll take any good news they can get right now as it relates to injuries. And Rashawn Slater, he's undergoing surgery on his bicep. Initially thought he was absolutely done for the year, but maybe not so fast. They placed him on IR with the opportunity to return later this season. And they're saying that, you know, a couple months from now, he could be in line earliest to return at the very end of the regular season and then maybe even for the playoffs. Vinny, are you buying or selling that he's got a real chance to return given the severity of the injury?
When we had the doc on yesterday, I guess it all depends on if it was torn off the bone, not torn off the bone, if it was lower, whatever. So I'll buy that he can come back. But, you know, for him to come back, they've got to be winning and have a chance to be in the playoffs. Otherwise, there's no way he'll be back.
Well, some potential trouble in paradise for the Houston Astros. Ken Rosenthal reporting last week that there's a lack of trust between owner Jim Crane and GM James Click. Apparently, Crane has become more hands-on since the whole sign-stealing scandal, and he doesn't like Click for whatever reason. Doesn't like him as much as he liked Jeff Luhnow. Rosenthal's words here, quote, they're approaching a breaking point.
Oh, my God.
Bob, buy or sell, the Astros will make a front office change if they come up anything short of a World Series win.
I'll sell it. I mean, Vinny, what do you think of hands-on owners in professional sports?
You know what? The problem with hands-on owners is, you know, it's who they listen to. That's the problem, because they don't know the sport that well. They think they do, you know, because they're usually really smart guys and they made a lot of money. But, you know, the ones that have been most effective are the guys that let the people they hire do their job.
Yeah, just sit back, enjoy your club level seat, count your cash. I mean, it is a very expensive toy that you own. But the Astros are having one of the great seasons in the history of that franchise that is now, what, 60 years old, I believe. I mean, slow your roll, Jim Crane. Don't take it out on this guy because your previous regime got caught cheating, and which has forever tarnished that one World Series that you won.
Right,
Win another one this year.
Only seems he's become hands-on after they got burned with the sign stealing. If that never happened, Lou Now's still there. So
Hinch is still the manager.
Right. All right, we'll wrap things up here with this one before we get to Eric Edholm. Mike Tomlin finally pulled the plug with the quarterback situation, brought in Kenny Pickett mid-game, said they needed a spark, and did they get one? Three interceptions, but two rushing touchdowns. His only three incompletions were the interceptions. After the game, he says that the QB situation, not set in stone, we're not making a decision for next week, so not committed to Pickett full-time yet. Vinny, buy or sell, Tomlin can't turn back now. He has to stick with Pickett despite the up-and-down day.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to go with Pickett or stick with Pickett just because they're not going anywhere. You know, I mean, they're not a good football team, so you might as well, you know, get him the experience that he's going to need.
It's Vinny and Hedy, 105.7 The Fan. Do we have time for a call, or are we going to take a break here? We got to take a break. So when we come back, Eric Edholm, though. It's going to be worth the wait when we return from NFL.com. Talk about the Ravens' loss yesterday to Buffalo. Talk about tonight's game, Rams and 49ers. A game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, and look a little bit ahead to week five. As you know, the AFC, all the power that is in it in regards to Super Bowl-level teams. Well, we got an interesting stat we're going to break out when Eric comes on, coming up next here on The Fan.
MLB, NFL, NCAA. Get it all right here. 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haiti. 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Ravens lose yesterday 23-20 at the gun to the Buffalo Bills. Baltimore now 2-2 in the year. Next Sunday night, hosting the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals. Got a game tonight you can hear on the radio station. San Francisco hosting the Rams. 49ers, 1.5-point favorites in that one. Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, joining us now to talk about week four so far. Maybe look ahead a little bit to week five. He's with NFL.com. He's on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Eric Edholm. Eric, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, as always, here on The Fan.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. And here we are almost through 4 weeks of the season. They are the last remaining undefeated team after beating Jacksonville yesterday. Maybe not the most beautiful football display, but a win nonetheless. Where is that hitting you on the old surprise meter that the Eagles are the last standing in regards to undefeateds here in 22?
Yeah, a little bit unusual in the sense that, you know, we often will have multiple undefeated teams at this stage of the season. And had they lost yesterday, I think it would have been the soonest that there were no undefeated teams. So we're in a little bit of a different spot, but you know, I think a lot of people, myself included, saw this as an improved Eagles team, you know, and it was a lot was obviously resting on Jalen Hurts' shoulders, you know, maybe an unfair amount, but still, I think a lot of people recognize that if he could take a step forward with this better surrounding cast, the team that may have been on the slight upswing last year anyway, that, you know, they can win the division. They can make the playoffs. I don't know if people are talking number one seed, but, you know, we're at least in that spot now, a little less than a quarter way of through the season. But, yeah, I mean, they're improved defensively. We saw them run the football effectively yesterday. You know, A.J. Brown has clearly made a difference. You know, there hasn't been that need for Devontae Smith to take over games. He's been a great complimentary receiver, a little bit quiet this year, but still. You know, the picture looks good because Hurts has improved and the defense is, making plays to keep them in games and you know, kind of control the action a little bit.
Now, staying in the NFC, the Pack, they're 3-1. I know Aaron Rodgers isn't overly happy with the way the team is playing. However, they're surviving the way that it is, and Dobbs is starting to catch on a little bit. I know he had that drop of the touchdown pass late. But where does Green Bay, where do they sit to you right now? Is this a team that, you know, is going to get better, or Aaron Rodgers' concerns, are they justified with his offense right now?
I think they're in a pretty good spot. I mean, it's clear they've taken a step backward offensively, right? I mean, we know that Aaron Jones is a special runner, and A.J. Dillon might be a great complementary runner. And Rodgers at his best, like he was in the second half in that last drive of overtime. You know, it's tough to beat. I mean, he really turned a game on its head. I mean, he was 4-for-11 yesterday at halftime, missed his first two throws and to start the third quarter, and needed, a terrific diving catch to make that third throw of the second half, you know, complete. But from that point on, I thought he was really good. And defensively, look, it's easy to sit there and say, wow, you know, wasn't a very impressive effort at home against a third-string quarterback taking his first NFL start ever. You know, a kid who was playing next to a CBS at Houston Baptist 2 years ago. I mean, it's, you expect maybe a little bit more. There were some mistakes. Certainly the run defense could have been better yesterday, knowing what was coming with New England. But I still think in that division, you know, Detroit's defense has been terrible. You know, Chicago can't throw the football. You know, Minnesota's been up and down. There's absolutely a path for them to win 12 games again, even if it's not vintage Packers scoring 30 a game and everything. They're going to win more with their defense and run game than they have in the past. But I still think it's a team that we have to, you know, put closer to the top than to the middle class of the NFL, especially in that conference.
Hey, Eric, I'll tell you what, watching that game in London yesterday, that was – to me, the most exciting game of the day. It was awesome. You know, back and forth, balls clunking off the goalposts and stuff. You know, and then Dalvin Cook looked great. Jefferson. What was your opinion of that one?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Brits, I think, love the field goals, right? So we gave them a show. We gave them a little bit of what they love and everything. And who knew that the second Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins tilt in London would be, you know, even better than the first one. But yeah, it's a good. I think that's a perfect, you know, kind of little breakfast appetizer for the NFL when the London game in these early slots can really set the table for the day, if you will. And, you know, on paper, Saints without Jameis, you know, Vikings with Cousins, there's always a little bit of, you know, kind of hesitation with that kind of a matchup. But they delivered an entertaining football game, right? And it had some interesting sort of coaching decisions along the way. You know, we had some dramatic moments there at the end, lead changes and back and forth and everything else. But yeah, it was a pretty fun game. And, you know, there was enough star power on the field, even without, you know, Alvin Kamara playing. I mean, Justin Jefferson is a special player and, you know, did enough in the win, I think, to, you know, to cement his spot as one of the best young receivers in the game. So, yeah, the NFL will take that every single time if they can have that early kickoff window be a tight game that goes right to the buzzer and a perfect kind of lead into the first slate of afternoon games.
Eric, you know what I kind of noticed yesterday? Anybody that had anything where they had a possibility of having a concussion, none of them returned.
Yeah, I think you definitely saw, I don't know what you call it, a Tua effect, if you will. I mean,
yeah.
Tua's, you know, obviously he's a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. You know, he played at Alabama. Everybody knows his name, and that position's always going to have a different focus than anything else. I mean, you know, but it raised consciousness about it again. I think we've maybe gotten a little bit sleepy on the concussion thing, right? It's become sort of part of the NFL landscape, and, you know, we haven't seen the kind of the same outrage because there hadn't really been that case where, you know, everybody watching at home had a kind of a visceral reaction to what happened, not just the first game on Sunday, but then 4 days later. It was a kind of a perfect storm, if you will, and everybody is sort of saying, I know what my eyes told me, right? Like, I saw him stumble in a way that was not necessarily consistent with a back injury. That was, I think, a common refrain among the people that, you know, that I saw on Twitter and people I've talked to, and you know, just who are casual fans watching the game. And they, and it, I understand that reaction completely. So yeah, I think it definitely rippled through the NFL locker rooms as well. And teams are wanting to be extra cautious, right? And maybe that serves as a good reminder that we can't get casual with these things. We have to be diligent. We, you know, making one or two mistakes, as it's alleged this independent neurologist did, can cost the guy his career and his livelihood, his health. I mean, those are things that have to be held to the utmost high standard. So, you know, again, I've said all along, if Tua clears the protocol and it has no adverse effects from this, and we use this as an example of, you know, how not to proceed in the future and make sure we clean up our mistakes in this, it could serve as a very good thing. And we were very fortunate that it turned out as well as it did, if that's what ends up happening.
Eric, your opinion of the Ravens and the Bills and, you know, like Harv's decision at the end of the game and stuff?
Very tough. Yeah. I mean, I wrote about it. You know, I mean, I wrote about the game and said, look, it was a curious call, because everybody's sitting there saying, you've got the best kicker in the world. You can go up. You can force them into a different position. You play the game differently when you're behind versus when it's tied, right? And so that argument is fair. And I think the Bills, you know, certainly would have approached things a little bit differently on that final drive had Ravens gone up three. But at the same time, they also moved from the 20-yard line after the interception to the 11 with about a minute 52 or something on the clock. I don't remember the exact number. But, you know, so you could argue that going up three, yeah, it gives you the lead, and there's always the chance that they don't convert the touchdown. They have to go for it on fourth down, let's say, and, you know, and that delivers you a win. But given the ease of how they moved down there as quickly as they did, you know, you still can lose that ball game. I completely understand both sides of the argument. I think there's a really good debate here. Yeah, it was unusual. It definitely surprised me. Challenging the Lamar scramble as well. They ended up going for it and getting it. Now, that did end up being a pivotal play, but one more timeout in your bag, you know, that changes things as well. So, yeah, there were a couple things that I think John can look back on, and, you know, he seemed pretty firm on his decisions after the game. But, you know, I get both sides of the argument of why it was, you know, why it was good and why it was bad.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Eric, real quick, who do you like tonight? San Francisco actually favored over the Rams this evening.
Yeah, right. Obviously, we've you know, it's been an interesting rivalry. I mean, the Rams got the better of them in the playoffs. Before that, it'd really been, you know, Shanahan kind of getting the best of McVay. The question is, can the 49ers, you know, deal with life after not only Trey Lance, but Trent Williams, probably arguably their best player, at least on offense. And so, you know, that's a tough one. Rams aren't exactly, you know, convincing everybody that they're going to be world beaters again, but I can see them sneaking out with a victory. I could see the Rams just having enough to beat them, even though the 49ers are a team that I think in time will play a lot better football than what we've seen so far.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Eric, always great to talk to you. Enjoy tonight's game, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Looking forward to it. See you, fellas.
There he is. Yep. NFL.com. Eric Edholm, he's been around. He's covered the league. He's a friend of the program, and it's always great to catch up with him. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We get you when we come back. We got NFL lunch coming up, top of the hour. Look back at our picks for week 4. We still have one game to go, and we'll make that one happen. Cordell Woodland, our Ravens reporter, he'll be joining us at 1:30. His impressions of yesterday's game as he watched it from M&T Bank Stadium. Orioles tonight taking on the Blue Jays. It's going to be rainy, but we're still going to be rocking and rolling at Pickles, so come on down. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. It's Baltimore baseball tonight at 6.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Feed you some football. Week 4 is almost done. We're talking about that and more. Then we're going to look at our picks. How did that go for all three of us? We'll let you know then. And then Cordell Woodland's going to talk about the Ravens and Bills with him around 1:30. But let's get out to the phones. Sports at 583-1057. Cool C and Timonium. Cool C, what's happening?
Yeah, guys, okay. I want to go back because I've been on the hardball get rid of for the last 3 years. I want to go back to the first half. We got a 51-yard field goal with Tucker. We take a delay of game. Harbaugh standing there with 3 timeouts in his pocket. I saw it ticking down. 3. I'm like, call timeout. We can't afford a 5-yard loss here. He watches it, lets it go. He misses so much. He's the worst game day coach. We get to the end. The guy's lost five games last year by a total of 8 points. Cost us three games with these insane decisions. If you're going to go by analytics, what do you need a coach for? Just punch it into the computer and let the computer tell you what to do. I mean, the field goal is guaranteed when you're down inside the five on that play. You, like the previous call, reporter said, you play completely different when you got a three-point lead with 4 minutes to go. And you know what? You're giving your defense a chance to redeem itself. If they were to stop them, even if they get a field goal, and I expected this game to be a field goal game and whoever had the ball last, even if they get a field goal, which they probably would have, we're going to get a chance at the end to get the ball back and Lamar take us in for the win with a field goal. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what's the guy won? One playoff game in the last 10 years?
Two.
Lost five straight at home. What's it take? And I know you guys on this network say, oh, we'll have a job tomorrow. Well, good. I hope he does get a job tomorrow. They all get retreads. Every team's got retreads. Let him go somewhere else and make all these mistakes. But it just seems he's holding this team back big time, and they need a new voice. They need a new voice. They need an offensive coach, a young offensive coach that can relate to Lamar. And you know, it's just over and over and over, week in, week out, guys. I've had enough of it.
All right, cool. See, ready to come to full Harbs out of Dodge there, Vinny. As
yeah,
you heard.
He's very, very frustrated. They're 2-2, you know, still a long ways to go yet, you know, and this is typical.
But, okay, we analytics, and Matt Main, next caller, wants to get into that. You know, the Orioles are analytic driven, and then we question some of their decisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, has John Harbaugh become too reliant on numbers and not maybe recognizing the feel of the game?
Yeah,
I mean, he made it a point to say analytics led to that decision yesterday.
I know it, and I it drives me crazy because, you know, I'll bet you got to go with your gut in that situation. All right, I understand the analytics say that I should go for it. Okay, but what is my team? What do I feel? What do I feel? I've been watching this team. I mean, you've watched 58 minutes, 59 minutes, or whatever. What do I feel? What do I need to do? What does my team need me to do? You know, do I feel like if we kick a field goal that we got a chance to stop them? And I would say they didn't give up any big plays, you know, and if we can contain Josh Allen, we got a good chance to stop him. That's why I would have kicked Bob and, you know, and Justin kick it out of the end zone. We put it on the 25. But Harbs's feeling was, okay, we don't make it. They're first down on the two, you know, coming out. But then you're still tied, you know, and then I guess he's feeling like we hold him here, we can punt, get the ball back. But why not take the 3-point
lead? But he also said, all right, Ravens kick the field goal, they're up three, then they're going to go for it more likely on fourth down. They're still doing that anyway. That's an aggressive ball club there with an aggressive gunslinging quarterback. They were trying to score a touchdown no matter what. They could have settled for three and sent it into overtime.
Right, right. I mean, like you said, Bob, no matter what. I mean, you got 2 minutes left in the game. You know, you'll have no timeouts left by that time. So, you know, you're not going for it every fourth down. I mean, if you're back on the 25, fourth and 10, you're probably going for it.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Maine, and it's Matt. Matt, you're on the fan with Vinny and Haney.
Hey, guys. Thanks for squeezing me in. I know it's been a busy, busy day.
Oh, yes. Not a lot of positivity today.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what? I do have a couple analytical things to drop, and then I actually am going to make a positive statement on actually why I think that, like Vinny said, I think there's potential to still go on a run, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So the primary thing with the analytics are, especially with yesterday, so depending on what site you look at, the prevailing idea is he had a 74% chance of winning the game with a touchdown, a 70% chance with a field goal. So you're not taking the analytics and saying I have a 75% chance of winning if I go for the touchdown. The number that should be paid attention to is that 4% differential, because that's what the decision is hinging on. It's 4%. It isn't 75%. It's basically saying if I go the safe route and take the field goal, there's a 70% chance that I'm still going to win the game. Instead, he leaned to a 4% decision. And if you had a chance to win or lose a game based on 4%, if the analytics said, okay, you've got a 4% chance of this play helping you to win the game, would you then choose that play? No, you wouldn't, because it's less than 10%, for crying out loud. So in that way, this one I completely disagreed with Harbs on. The other idea and theory is, even if they kick the field goal, say the Ravens do score the touchdown, Buffalo drives the length of the field, which showed at that point in the game they were going to be able to do. On the road, you're going to play for the win anyway, right? So potentially they get down there. Tarb said the worst that can happen is they go to overtime when they score a touchdown. That's completely inaccurate because the way that Allen runs, the way they weren't able to stop him all day, the way that Pat Queen was holding a red cape out like he was.
Matt. Oh, sorry about that, Matt. Got that interrupted there with some issues, but I guess calling out Patrick Queen for not setting the edge and making plays. And on the Allen touchdown run, he kind of got juked out of his shorts a little bit there.
Yeah. And to me, it all goes back to fundamentals, you know? I mean, if you're fundamentally sound, I thought they did a pretty damn good job with Lamar. Didn't you, Bob? I mean, Milano, you know, was there. Because Lamar never really, they didn't give up any big plays. Whereas Josh Allen, you know, fundamentally things broke down. And that's when they gave up some plays defensively.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Pikesville. It's Dan. Dan, you're on the fan. Dan, on the fan. No, Dan.
So, Bob, the Ravens are ranked one of the they're 40% on fourth down, 2 of 5.
Well, let's go to John and Timonium. John, you're on the fan with Vinny and Haney.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing, John?
Just want to talk about that final offensive play yesterday. I played a little bit of football in high school, and my last year I played quarterback, not very well. But I had a situation where a guy was standing wide open, and I threw him a pass, and ultimately it got intercepted. And I came off the field, and a guy named Bill Thomas, who's a sort of a legendary guy in high school sports in Towson. He coached at Towson for years, had three great athlete sons. And one of them's in the Hall of Fame, the Maryland Hall of Fame. He went to Hopkins and played lacrosse. But anyway, he pulled me aside when I came to the sideline. He goes, "I'm going to teach you something here right now. If you have a receiver who is standing dead on his feet, if you can't throw it as hard as you can and hit him in the middle of the chest, then you can forget making that pass because it'll probably be intercepted. Because a guy who's not moving, ground can be made up on him by a defensive back twice as fast as if he was moving." And when I saw Duvernay come open, Lamar is being pushed backwards. He's throwing off his back foot, and he's going to throw a duck or a semi-duck over in the corner. I knew there was no possible chance. I just remember Mr. Thomas saying that to me. And sure enough, the kid intercepted it, almost overran it. He had so much time to get there. As far as the decision to not take the field goal, how many times in your lifetime have you heard an announcer say, "Well, they're going to take the field goal because it gives them the lead"? That's the answer to that question, is that you take the field goal because you are now in the lead. What happens after that is up to you.
All right, John, thank you for the call. We're basically saying take the points
and
the throw. And look, Poyer did make a great play closing on the ball.
Yeah.
And it was a hell of a catch. Duvernay, you know, really didn't have much time to adjust to him as Lamar was thrown off the back foot as he had, you know, 17 Buffalo Bills charging in on him.
See, and I still go back to, Bob, the Ravens had been struggling in short yardage situations this year. All right, I just pulled up, you know, on fourth downs because 2019, when they were really good, it seemed like they were number one in the league on fourth down, Bob, 17 out of 24, 71% they were. You know, I mean, if you're cranking out 71%, you know, you feel pretty good about your fourth down situation. Now, they've been struggling. They were 50% coming into this game on fourth down, but their short yardage situations were not great.
Saw that again yesterday. Unfortunately for the Ravens, could not get that win. They blew a 17-point lead. Now they lick their wounds. Get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals, who come to town on Sunday night. Ravens are favorite, however, in that matchup. First place on the line in the AFC North. So you'd like to be there through five games. We'll talk about that one all week long. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. NFL Lunch coming up next. We'll look back at our picks from this weekend. We still have to do tonight's game. It is San Francisco favorite over the Rams. You can hear that game on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland will be joining us at 1:30. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 6. Orioles wrapping up the regular season. They're above 500. Guaranteed to finish that way. Toronto Blue Jays come to town. Three-game set. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick live from Pickles. If you're going to the game, come by and say hello.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.